as we continue a study now in the book of Galatians. We've been going verse by verse for several months, and then slowing down to go word by word with the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So we've given a lesson of peace. As we read now, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We spent a whole lesson on love. Joy, lesson on joy. Peace, had a whole lesson devoted to that. Patience last week. But I mentioned at that point last week that it was getting more difficult in the succeeding virtues or fruits of the Holy Spirit to separate them. There is, in my view, not a big difference between kindness and goodness and gentleness in this case. And so while they're all together different words, I'm going to group them together this morning, as they are even in the Greek dictionaries considered to be very, very similar. Now, it's not to say that they are derived from the same root word. They are not. Each is a different word. But the ideas that are attached to them are so similar that in the very dictionaries themselves, they'll take the word like kindness and then define it as gentleness. Take the word goodness and define it, as kindness. And so they're using each of these three words to shed light on the other. So with a real quick word study, we'll just group these together, as I've said, and consider them as at least related in the principles that Scriptures teach regarding them. Using Vine's Expository Dictionary, the word for kindness, the word that came first, you have the adjectival form there, Christos, is a word that means serviceable or good or pleasant or gracious. And then as you look at your translations, you may not have kindness there. You might have gentleness there. It'll depend on the translation, because these words all have to do with treating someone in a particular manner. Another form of this word says to be kind. Well, if you're kind, you're being gentle. The noun form suggests goodness of heart. So it's difficult to define the word, and yet it's a word that we all completely understand. Kindness is a thing we long for. It is a thing we, each of us, count as valuable. It is a thing, though, that we sometimes find difficult to bestow upon others. Natural inclination, often enough, is to be anything but kind. It's to be mean. It's to be selfish. And so whichever form this word takes, it's actually not used a lot in Scripture either. Altogether, this word's only used 18 times in your Bible. Using, again, though, Vine's Expository Dictionary, for agathosune, agathosune, sometimes pronounced, Trench is a famous Greek scholar following Jerome, who preceded him in biblical studies, from Vine's Expository, though, continuing the quote, distinguishes between the word we just looked at, krestotes, translated kindness, and this word, in that the former describes the kindlier aspects of goodness. The latter includes also the sterner qualities by which doing good to others is not necessarily by gentle means. He illustrates the second word by the act of Christ in cleansing the temple and in denouncing the scribes and Pharisees, but he illustrates that first word by his dealings, Jesus' dealings, with the penitent woman in Luke 7. Lightfoot, another scholar, continuing the quote, regards krestotes, the first word, as a kindly disposition towards others, agathosune, as kindly activity on their behalf. Well, already, brethren, you can see the two are being woven together in thought, though they're altogether different words. This happens a lot in Scripture. It happens a lot in English. It happens in every language. A beautiful language and an effective language, a clear language, will have more than one word for the same idea. So whether you use the word kindness or you use the word goodness, or lastly, and again, totally depending on your translation, whether you look at this word, proutase, and its forms as being meek, or translated by the word meekness, Easton defines it as a calm temper of mind, not easily provoked, Holman calls it gentleness, so he's using that second word, and humility, controlled power. Nelson says humility toward God and gentleness toward men, and Unger defines it as gentleness. So you see, they're similar. What do they reveal about themselves in Scripture is why we're here this morning. It's what we're studying this morning. The elders asked me to look at each of these words and these fruits of the Spirit. It's because they're pivotally important. They are manifestations of God's presence in your life and influence over your life and your success in understanding what Scripture says and applying what Scripture says. And so, regardless of which one of the words that you're using, it's revealing character. It is speaking of certain group of behaviors. Now, in sorting this out, then, I think the best way, you know, is not to start with a dictionary definition so much as just to look at its occurrence. And in my study series, I was preparing this lesson, I realized that there was an aspect that is most prominent when these three words are used. And it rather surprised me. I'd have thought that these words would more particularly and more often be dealing with a human behavior and instructing us on how we ought to behave. But more often than anything else, what cropped up when these words were used was a description of God's attitude, of God's behavior. The first time any one of these three words is used, it's kindness in this case, the first one that was in the list, is in Luke chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, love your enemies. Do good. Lend. Expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Brother, there's your best definition of kindness. Because He said, you love your enemies, you do good, you lend, you expect nothing in return when you do. If you do those things, your reward will be great because you're like God. Because you're part of His family. You're behaving like a child of God. He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. It's just a way of summarizing the previous verse, the previous statement, which describes what kindness is. What is kindness? Kindness is when I do not return in kind. Kindness is when I decide that despite this person's treatment of me, I declare them to be an enemy. My response would be goodness. I'm going to lend it to people even if I know it's a bad idea, expecting nothing in return. Brother, more than once you've been to people probably as I have, you know they're asking for money that you are not likely to get back. You lend it to them, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great in heaven, and that's where rewards really count. You'll be like a child of God. You'll be like the Most High Himself. And you'll be kind. You've been ungrateful. You've been evil. God was kind to you because He did not respond with similar evil behaviors. Look again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. These words, they just don't appear by themselves on the page of Scripture. They're not only kindness, gentleness, and meekness associated with each other in various locations, but they're usually in the midst of a bunch of other words or descriptive phrases that are helping us to understand the principle that God has in mind. Unkindness would be bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. The opposite is being kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, is how to be kind and not these other ways. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you, though, sets the standard. We are to behave exactly like He did. We are to show ourselves His children because we look like Him. We act like Him. Colossians chapter 3. You know, of course, Ephesians and Colossians written at the same time, Paul from his jail cell in Rome, 62 A.D. Colossians 3:12, though, he's got similar thoughts for neighboring congregations to the Ephesians. As those who have been chosen of God, says in chapter 3, verse 12, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which we had last week, bearing with one another, forgiving, as forgiveness keeps showing up, each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Why did God forgive you? Because He's kind. Because He understands that ungrateful people who don't know better yet, if He'll treat them in a certain way, can learn and grow and respond and become a grateful people, a people that share His character. So more often than not, the bigger group of uses of these words in Scripture, kindness, gentleness, and meekness, brother, they're attributed to God first and more often. And they set the standard for the degree in which we are to practice these same things. So, we see the definition in God's behavior. Look at it in the life of Paul. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, he says, we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Not only was the first time that I saw this style of baby photography. Ann Geddes is kind of famous for it. I've got a couple of her books if you want to look through, you know, those art books from the end of the house. But these black and white photos with an utterly black background that just, you know, speak of the idea of birth somehow really have appealed to me through the years. So I got several of them for you here on the rest of this lesson this morning. But brother, look at this idea. Was Paul a man's man? Was Paul just, you know, a lion? Was Paul just absolutely undefeatable and strong? He's just the kind of guy that really appeals to men. An adventurer with enormous courage. To be all over the world at that time, who would back down to nobody, who would stand up to anybody, who would pay for it with abuse, and then bounce right back and be on his road to be serving his God again. I know of only one place where you'd think of Paul as being like a mother. This is it. But he said, that's what I was like to you people. This lion, this fearless man, this extremely strong defender of the faith, this guy who feared nothing, you'd think, says, what I proved to be was gentle, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. And it's here, brethren, especially where we start to get an idea that's associated with these three words that belie what is thought to be the idea that lies behind them. These words have nothing whatsoever to do with weakness. Nothing whatsoever to do with somebody who hasn't got power or ability or strength. These words are about God Himself in heaven who has all power and the manner in which He so carefully controls Himself and scales it down so that He exerts only just as much as that fragile human being needs at that moment and in their best interest. Paul did the same thing with the Thessalonians. And you remember this Thessalonian letter, 1 Thessalonians, probably written very shortly after the Galatian letter, is likely only the second letter to ever be written in the New Testament. It's 52 A.D., Paul then very early in what will be his lifetime of service. But when he goes to those Thessalonians, he straightens them out in his epistles. He tells them sometimes pretty sternly about things that have gone wrong with them. He does so within 90 days of having established the congregation. He had to flee from there quickly. And yet through it all, he can say, what you remember about me is that while he expects, like any good mother, for those children to toe the line, like any good mother, that discipline is controlled. It's gentle. It's tender care for the child that they love more than life itself. Another aspect that you'll see, I'm calling these definitions that you behold in people's actions. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says that in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. It's translated in Greek, Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity. Deeds of kindness and love. Deeds. Kindness is an attitude that must always manifest itself in behavior, in action. There's no kindness when I think well of you and I don't say anything. There's no kindness in my seeing you have some kind of need and I really feel bad about your suffering and I do nothing to alleviate it. This woman was so beloved because she is described as abounding with deeds of kindness. She is a woman then where everybody could see that she was kind. And brethren, there's really no other kind of kindness. Otherwise, it's wasted. It's just a feeling. It's useless. This, God hasn't enjoined of anybody. And then they add, which she continually did. Now, between God's nature and saving you and your ungrateful selfishness, Paul's lion-hearted tender care for the Thessalonians, and this woman's abundant deeds, which she never stopped doing, you've got a full definition of what it is to be kind. You've got a definition of gentleness. You've got a definition of meekness. What you understand is that in gentleness and kindness and meekness, as seen in God and in Paul and in Dorcas, you have strength. You have power. You have confidence and surety, certainty. Individuals who know what they're doing, they know how to do it. And it's the how of their doing that kindness and gentleness and meekness are expressing. James will tell us in chapter 3 that gentleness, kindness, is also a proof of wisdom. And this one kind of leaped off the page for me too. I hadn't really thought of it like this. An unwise person is not kind. Who among you is wise and understanding, James asks rhetorically. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Kindness, gentleness, and meekness is force which is wisely exerted. It is power that can be as limitless as God's, which is dispensed in minute doses, precisely as necessary for the person in the moment. Because it is controlled by wisdom, by knowledge, forethought, careful decision, and then the appropriate action. Gentleness, meekness, kindness in your life tells the world that you are wise, that you are knowledgeable, that you have power, you know what to do, and can do it properly, wisely. This power can be tremendously persuasive. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, Paul, the kindness of God leads you to repentance. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26, he says, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, so that they escape the very clutches of Satan himself. The kind individual is the wise individual who has learned how to dispense that wisdom in actions that are tailored specifically to that need, and they move the recipient. They can't just ignore it. They're persuaded by this behavior that there's a better way of life. He does it again, Paul does, just after this whole discussion in Galatians 5. You'll come to the first verse in Galatians 1. If anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So my first response when you catch somebody in a trespass is to be angry. You're disappointed. You wish it hadn't happened. You know, it makes people mad when you see failure. It's a natural result of failure. It's annoying. It's irritating. But right after this lengthy discussion about these fruits of the Spirit, Paul will say, anyone's caught in a trespass, in any trespass, so it could be bad, you are spiritual, restore such a one. Previous two verses on this slide had to do with that very idea. In a spirit of gentleness. That's where the success lies. And we'll close our lesson this morning with one last verse. A verse in the Sermon on the Mount from the Beatitudes, which says, blessed are the meek, the gentle, the kind, take your pick, for they shall inherit the earth. Kindness is also linked with one of God's greatest promises, with his saying, I will not forget you. If you have power and the wisdom to use it kindly, gently, meekly, then I promise you, in this case, the inheritance of the very earth. Now, my time's already up, and I had no intention of going into that today anyway, how that phrase is used in the Old Testament as well as in the New. But just to say, the Jews understood at that time. That doesn't mean that the Jehovah's Witnesses would suggest you live forever on the planet. But it does say that God will remember you. He will bless you. You will endure. You will survive. You will continue, in the context where this is used in the Old Testament and elsewhere, while the rough, the uncouth, the unwise, the angry, and those that are forceful without wisdom will have long since passed from this earth and will not be entering into eternity either. So, brethren, you see why, I hope, that I've chosen to lump these three together. You see why I've tried to just look at the verses themselves and say to you, can you be God-like? Say yes. Can you be like Paul? Sure. Like Dorcas? Moses said, well, yeah, I can reach her level. All right? Well, God is asking for there to be nothing but Tabithas in this congregation. He is asking for it to be populated with Pauls. He is asking us to be God-like. He is therefore asking us to have the wisdom to act in the controlled manner that perfectly matches the strength of the circumstances of the individual that you're working with. And when you do that, God will not forget and you will be rewarded. They will take notice and likely be persuaded because you now share the very character of God as his child. Can wield it then, this nature, this power, the same way Paul did, the same way Dorcas did. Brethren, let's be godlike. Let's be powerful. Let's be persuasive. Let's accept that promise. Let's be gentle. Let's be kind. Let's be meek. I know I could blister you, but I won't. Kindness will carry you to heaven itself, brethren. If you are not a Christian this morning, we appeal to you as always, let this be the day of salvation. If you are one who has been unkind, that is to say selfish, if you recognize kind of weak in these areas, if you'd like more verses on the topic, I have them readily available. If you'd like to just have a Bible study, some counseling, if you need help in prayer overcoming some particular problem, as always, we extend the invitation. Let it be known. Please come forward and speak with me as we sing.